From Greenville, South Carolina, we present... Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series in the book of Joshua, Dr. Cairns has returned to chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where we read of Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, who gathered a coalition of four other Canaanite kings to make war on the Gibeonites because they had entered into a league with Israel. Upon learning of this threat, the Gibeonites immediately cried out to Joshua to come and help them. Dr. Cairns is drawing a spiritual parallel between the wrath of those heathen people against the Gibeonites and the hatred of the world for those who profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus made it clear to his disciples that the world would hate them just as it had hated him. As long as a person is living like the rest of the world, there's no problem. But as soon as one comes to Christ and tries to live a godly life, the opposition of the unsaved begins to rage against him. In a message entitled Help in Trouble, Dr. Cairns is bringing a word of encouragement to embattled saints by showing that the Lord Jesus comes to the aid of his persecuted people. Dr. Cairns will resume the message shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 5. They weave the spider's web. See the spider's web, and behold in it a most suggestive picture of the hypocrite's religion. It is meant to catch his prey. The spider fattens himself on flies, and the Pharisee has his reward. Foolish persons are easily entrapped by the loud professions of pretenders, and even the more judicious cannot always escape. Philip baptized Simon Magus, whose guileful declaration of faith was soon exploded by the stern rebuke of Peter. Custom, reputation, praise, advancement, and other flies are the small game which hypocrites take in their nets. A spider's web is a marvel of skill. Look at it and admire the cunning hunter's wiles. Is not a deceiver's religion equally wonderful? How does he make so barefaced a lie appear to be a truth? How can he make his tinsel answer so well the purpose of gold? A spider's web comes all from the creature's own bowels. The bee gathers her wax from flowers. The spider sucks no flowers, and yet she spins out her material to any length. Even so, hypocrites find their trust and hope within themselves. Their anchor was forged on their own anvil, and their cable twisted by their own hands. They lay their own foundation and hew out the pillars of their own house, disdaining to be debtors to the sovereign grace of God. But a spider's web is very frail. It is curiously wrought, but not enduringly manufactured. It is no match for the servant's broom or the traveler's staff. The hypocrite needs no battery of Armstrongs to blow his hope to pieces. A mere puff of wind will do it. Hypocritical cobwebs will soon come down when the besom of destruction begins its purifying work, which reminds us of one more thought, namely, that such cobwebs are not to be endured in the Lord's house. He will see to it that they, and those who spin them, shall be destroyed forever. O my soul, be thou resting on something better than a spider's web. Be the Lord Jesus thine eternal hiding place. From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
John 15:19, not long before his death, he said to his disciples, If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The world hateth you. The Apostle Peter explained exactly why that should be. In 1 Peter 4:4, he says concerning your erstwhile companions in sin, he says, they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The world does not understand godliness. The world fears godliness. You remember the story of the demoniac of Gadara? He was a man who was sold to Satan, inhabited by satanic forces, a wild man, a danger to himself and a danger to everything and everybody around about him, a man who was chained and tied but had such satanic fury that he burst every bond asunder. And then the Lord Jesus came, and with a word, he cast Satan out. He made that lunatic man sane. He made that wild man tame. He made that evil man a saint. So that when the people came, they found him sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. What was their response? They besought the Lord Jesus to depart out of their coasts. They could live with the devil. They could live with the demoniac. They could live with the danger. They could live with the threat. But they could not live with the power of vital holiness, vital God. It's a very, very enlightening passage of Scripture. They think it's strange. In America today, according to most politicians, according to most journalists, according to most TV commentators, who is posing the great threat to the freedom that America holds dear? Religious fundamentalists. Now I realize that nowadays under that name and title, you have a great deal of ungodly lunatics and evil people. I realize that full well. And that's only because, in order to get at Christianity, the media have taken everything that is crackpot, crazy, and wicked, and they have stuck it all under their designation of right-wing religious fundamentalism. But that's the great danger to America. According to these people, the great danger to America is not the sodomites who are teaching sodomite technique to grade school children. That doesn't pose any problem to America. It's not a problem to America that they murder 1.5 million infants in their mother's wombs for no reason other than lust on the one hand and greed on the other. That doesn't really pose a problem to America. And you can go right on down the line. When you think of the problems this great nation has, and for which it has no apparent solution, and then you listen that it's people who want kids to be able to pray. They want to be able to hand them a Bible. A school teacher having various books on the shelf in the schoolroom is posing no problem when he or she has Karl Marx or the Humanist Manifesto But as soon as they put a Bible there, suddenly that's a threat to the whole nation of America. They think it's strange. The Apostle Paul, knowing that full well, said, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And Peter warned, "Think it not strange. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." As though some strange thing happened unto you. You see, what happened at Gibeon is a cameo of the long war against the Lord and His people. We see that war waged in the ministry of Christ. Can you imagine that the perfect man was walking on the earth? The man against whom not one single legitimate criticism could ever be made. Sinless, God manifested in the flesh, the incarnation of eternal love, eternal wisdom, eternal power, eternal grace, and God's eternal purpose for the world. It's all incarnate in the God-man. And yet, those forces, basically the very same forces that confronted Gibeon, confronted Christ. Powerful forces constantly plotting His death. From the moment Herod heard that He had been born, what was the plan? Kill Him. As soon as He arrived in the scene of His public ministry and He went to Nazareth and He read from the 61st chapter of the book of Isaiah and said, "This day this is fulfilled in your mouth," and He started to go on and tell them of the mighty sovereign grace and power of God, what happened? They sought to murder Him and throw Him over the cliff face in the city of Nazareth. Right through His ministry, plotting to kill Him. The same forces assaulted those who trusted in Him. John chapter 9, you have the story of the blind man whom Christ healed. Blind from birth. In many ways, this is a miracle that stands on a par with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. I don't really think you could say it took more power to do the one than the other. In the history of the world, it has never been known that a man blind by birth could be healed. And yet this man received his sight. What happened? He was immediately driven out of the synagogue. Driven out of the synagogue. Can I say to you that there are times when God does a great work of grace in a sinner's heart, and sometimes that man would be more welcome in a tavern than he would in some churches. You've heard me mention the works of a Methodist minister in England in the 1940s, 1930s and 40s. G.E. Dempster. If you want to pick up any of his books, you'll have to get them secondhand because I have not seen anything republished of them in recent years. Dempster was a Methodist minister in London with a great heart for people. The stories are just absolutely amazing. He tells the story of a man who was about to commit suicide, throw himself into the River Thames. And this foggy night, Dempster, who dressed himself very often as the down and outs, the homeless of their day, if you want, these were days of awful depression. And in the fog, he said to the man, "It's not worth it, mate." He got him to come down, and the man turned and cursed at him. He invited him along to the meeting, and he cursed him even harder. He found out the reason. That night, as that man had been contemplating death, he heard the peal of a church bell. God spoke to his heart, enshrouded in a London fog, on the edge of an eternity of hell. He felt the voice of God. The thought came, perhaps there's hope for even me. His mind went back to the home that he had left, for he had not always been a down and out. He'd been in the upper classes of society. He's a very accomplished man, wrecked by booze and wickedness. He thought of a little daughter who had learned to pray, of a wife who prayed, and he thought it was all hopeless until that church bell was like a message from heaven. So he turned. He went into the church, and as he got in through the front door, a very well-dressed usher met him, put his arm around his shoulder, turned him around, and said, "We're very respectable here. I think you should find another church." I can understand why when Dempster came, the man cursed at him, that all preachers are hypocrites, that all churches are hypocritical. Of course, it's not true. But God had not finished with him. Thank God that night Dempster saw him in his meeting and led him to Christ. How often, when God does a work in a man's heart, he finds the treatment that the blind man to whom the Savior gave sight found, excluded from the synagogue. The same thing happened, didn't it, to the early church? Pentecost was followed by persecution. Paul and Barnabas went so far as to say that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. I think it's vital that Christians understand and realize that the world hates them, and the world aims to destroy them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.